think what I would like to do is go back to the stack to complete the questioning for Lonnie, and then Mike is going to make a report to the public of the remainder of the Finance Committee report, and Mike will also report in the public session about the business that transpired in the executive session. So, Lonnie, you're back on the hot seat. Bonnie, you're on the stack. Sarb, Doc, great. I'll figure that one out. I know Nia is fourth. No, Rob was there too.
Ready?
Yes, Bonnie. That's Rob. Okay.
You are ready?
Yeah.
Lonnie, I know it's really hard to tell from the figures because of the way that funds roll in after a fund drive. Can you talk a little bit about the different fulfillment rates at the stations? And can you tell me if they have gotten better, worse, just over the last few years? Can you just give us a picture of the fulfillment rates?
That's a very, very good question. What I have seen, because by rule of thumb, a 5% drop in the fulfillment rate at our major stations is $100,000 left on the table. So it's serious business to have a fulfillment rate that drops. What I can say is my experience with WBEI, for example, its fulfillment rate had dropped to 78%. Contributing in the last two or three years, I think Carolyn had a question, to a drop of $100,000 in revenue. I went from 83 to 78. And then we had sent Phil Osegate went out, the number of people we focused on fulfillment, got it back up to 83%. And it helped, but it dropped back down again. And so for WBI, they have two issues. A fulfillment rate that was lower than it should be. Most stations are running between 80 and 85% for fulfillment rate. And at WBEI, a second-level problem also is that they weren't getting out the door on time, that folks were not getting their premiums by drive two, so they were upset and not really willing to donate. And we now may be in drive three for some folks in terms of not having received those premiums. There's a backlog. KPFA, excellent premium operation. My experience with it has been that they keep their fulfillment at 80-85%. Very good. KPFK, its fulfillment rate had been 85%, but in this last drive, something went wrong. And when I was tracking it down, saying, "Well, why are the dollars are not coming in?" Even though it was a record drive, $1.2 million, the speed at which the credit card information was being entered into the MEMSIS system was much slower than normal, contributing to a cash flow problem. My understanding was that the credit card information wasn't being entered until after the drive. That's a change in procedure, and it results in a cash flow problem. You have to do it quick, not late. So I understand that was a issue for them. Historically, my experience, KPFT was like 80 to 85% fulfillment. KPFT, I'm not too sure, Dwayne. You know better than I do. What it was?
About 84%, 82 to 84%. And the tricky part with that is when you have
When you have a high proportion of pledges coming in on installments, EFTs, and things like that, projecting what it's going to be, you really have to wait for a year to get that final number. For example, our fall fund drive is right now at 78%, but we still have another 6 months, and we're getting about $10,000 or $12,000 per month in installments from that fund drive. So we'll know, we can project out that we're going to end up in the lower 80s, probably 82% on that.
Okay.
The winter drive, most recent drive, we're only at 62% on that one, but we just sent out the pledge forms on some of them, 10 days ago.
Okay.
Can I just speak real quick to that kind of fundraising?
You know, just as a general, in a long time, let's say the last 15 years, overall rule of thumb in non-commercial broadcasting, 1 in 10 give. Some stations have made it to 2 in 10 give. I think you really have to look at the decline in audience. It's a double thing. You look at the decline in audience along with the decline in membership. The other thing about fulfillment, you know, rule of thumb, non-commercial broadcasting, most fulfillment's coming in at about 93%. You really have to look at net, and you have to look at what you're not doing online to make it easier for people to give. I think that's a whole area. When you look at the websites of each station during the drives, they're not making it really friendly and easy for people to give online. So that's an area that can be highly removed. It's also not a lot of cost to it. You're not generating paper. You're not needing, you know, all the people to take down the information, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people now, if you can offer a security, prefer to give online.
Okay. Thank you. Sir?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My question is regarding Pacifica Radio Archives. You know, that's one of our most important assets of this foundation. And before, we used to have a certain percent of the monies that came to the national office was allocated towards the Pacifica Radio Archives. And then at some point we said, well, each unit has to produce their own revenues to whatever extent they can, whatever, I guess, and the rest is made up by the national office. And now at this juncture here, seems like Pacifica Radio Archives is in need of money. Do you think that we should restore the previously adopted method of giving a certain percentage of revenues to the national office to Pacifica Radio Archives? Should we do that? Or how do we deal with this matter?
Well, that's another good question. Well, the traditional formula was that of the central services money, 3%, it varies with some stations, like K gets less because they're housing PRA, to Pacifica Radio Archives. But the current situation right now is that we give them 10%, not 3.5%, because the expenses for PRA go up like everybody else's expenses. And 3.5% of a shrinking number, remember, the central service number goes down with reduced revenues and flat revenue. So we've made up the difference. Under that formula, PRA would receive $220,000. We're giving them actually $335,000 because that's what they need. So we're overfunding them. Now, on the issue of PRA, oh, it's just heartbreaking because they used to have $109,000 in sales revenue, or was it $190,000? Now they're down to, you know, $10,000, $20,000 in sales. Yeah, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen a plummet in their sales, selling their CDs, selling their archival materials, and there are reasons for it. They have also become more dependent on stations promoting the archives on air and the stations buying CDs from our archives. Well, with the premium sort of explosion, stations are buying premiums everywhere and not necessarily supporting the premiums from our own archives. So that has contributed to revenue loss at PRA. I could go on. But the bottom line is that we have precious archival materials, and we don't have the funds to do the restoration at a rate that will save as many as we need. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Did you want to just finish the answer also on WPFW's?
They are at 85, as I recall.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you mean by 85?
85% fulfillment rate, 85% of the people actually pay up.
He hadn't finished just one station on the question before that one. Doc?
I just have a really quick request. I'm sorry. The information that you send to finance, because audit is doing a lot of research and trying to understand, and I would really like for you to kind of send that same information, those reports, because as you know, I have been asking for the last 2 years that I've been on this board to make sure that the finance reports that we get have annotations on them so that we know what's in those numbers and can get a full view of the history. Many people sitting on this board have not been on this board for the last 15 years or whatever. And it's really important when we make these financial decisions that we understand the historical context in which those numbers hibernate or hide and are surface, and so that we know what's in them, where they come from, what they're connected to, all of that. And it, since you have those reports, it would really be beneficial, especially the audit group, to have those reports and know what's in them.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that because it answers questions. It's just
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to just say this, and this is not being mean-spirited. I have been asking for that kind of information for an extended period of time, and I have not gotten it. Yes, Lonnie, don't look at me like that.
Okay,
okay,
thanks.
And I really appreciate it, but I really want that report.
Thank you.
I really, really do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, well, Doug. Lonnie. You did say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, let's be clear so that I won't be accused of not giving you what you asked for. We're talking about an annotated balance sheet, which I said I have. I got a history of the mail drop. Did you ever get that one? That was definitely went to finance. The history of the mail drops? People always ask about the mail drops.
Okay. I'm on the audit committee, not on finance. So if you sent it to finance, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, but you got my email. Okay.
Yeah. Send me and I'll, those two documents.
You know I love you.
Yes,
but
I know.
I want that report. Okay.
Yeah. You
but you get. But it's good stuff. You'll be interested.
Okay. And you said that you had that they had been researching and tracing and connecting all of those different.
Yeah.
That's the information that I would like to see.
All right. Well, you remember the consolidated.
Longitudinal study.
Yeah, the longitudinal study. That was three
Thank
years
you.
Ago.
Okay, wonderful,
guys.
Thank you.
You know what?
I've been down this road.
Okay.